Sunday, Chaf Aleph Iyar, Lady Shir and Shara Bitachon, Shir number 12, we're starting Perek Gimel, Chaf Aleph Iyar, the 10th of May, Sunday, Chaf Aleph Iyar, 10th of May, 12th Shir and Shara Bitachon, we're starting Perek Gimel. Okay, Chodesh Alvavus, Shara Bitachon, Rabbi Perek Gimel. So Perek Beis essentially told us seven qualities in the object of our bitachon, our reliance. He defines reliance in Perek Aleph. He wants it to be a reliance that makes me totally calm and not stressed and it's not in my hands anymore. I'm like relying on someone else. So to do that and to have that madrega of reliance, you have to, he enumerates seven qualities in Perek Beis. And then he ends up the parak by saying it's quite obvious that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu would incorporate those seven qualities. No one else would be possible to have those seven qualities. So the only true bitachon you have, again, with defining bitachon as being stress-free, is only possible with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Parak Gimel now starts the workshop, I call it. Gimel and Dalet are the name of workshop program to develop the Hakdama, the Psicha, was to let you know how important it is and how wonderful it is and how great it is and how many qualities it has and all the benefits that accrue once you have it. Perek Aleph defined it. Perek Beis, we just said what Perek Beis does, and now Perek Gimel starts the Avoda. Okay. And I, you know, it's very wonderful to sit in a shir and listen to Rabbi Milinowitz pontificate. Very nice, it's wonderful, it makes me feel good, thank you very much, all of you. But it's not going to do anybody any good if you, like, if you know, listen and take notes. You know, you have to do this. You have to do it. You have to think about the things he says to think about. And you have to stop and say, well, do I really believe this is true? Do I have trouble with this concept? Yeah, I do. I'm sort of like stuck on the first line. Help, what do I do? So you can think about it, you can ask me questions, you could talk to others, you could say, you know, I really am not there that Hashem loves me, which is like a major obstacle. Like, it's a major obstacle because people don't feel that. Look around, look at my life. So you have to really believe it and feel it, or else you can't start. So it might take 6 months. This is a lifetime of avoda. People say, oh, I have bitachon, and look how Hashem messes me up. It's very hard to have, you know, we work on it. And it might take 6 months to work on, yes, I feel Hashem's love. That could take 6 months. Now, and that's number one only. Then there's seven things. Now, Perek Gimel is how to acquire bitachon. Five premises you have to incorporate and believe and think about and internalize. Five things. That's Perek Gimel. But we don't get off so easy. Because Perek, the first of the five, is to believe that the seven things in Perek Beis are true about Hashem. So number one is split up into seven. Right? You understand? Number one is to believe that the seven things of Perek Beis that I just told you are necessary for someone to have bitachon, they are true about Hashem. That's number one. Then there's number two, three, four, and five. Bitachon and Ishtadlus is part of that, because Ishtadlus is in number five. If you're a good person or a bad person, if you do Averus, that's number four. And, you know, he covers the whole gamut. So you say, what's left for Perek Dalet? Perek Dalet is the workshop, Mamish. Perek Dalet is applying the things that, okay, you now have bitachon. What are you going to do if someone talks Lashon Hara on you and gets fired from your job? How are you going to feel about that? What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do if you don't get the job you want, the shidduch you wanted, if your kids are not the way you would want them to be? And if anybody has kids who are the way they want them to be, please raise your hand. I want to meet you. What do I do about that? So that's Perek Dalet, and it's an amazing Perek. Perek Dalet is really like You know, they have these things in classes where you play act. They put on like a little play and they show you how to react. And that's a very good teaching way. And that's what he does in Perek Dalet without the acting. He says, okay, and he enumerates in Perek Dalet like a whole list of situations that covers all of life and says, this is the practical application of the bitachon that you've been koneh because you've been through Perek Gimel. But it takes a lot of time, and there's almost no point for sitting and listening to me, like I say, because it's just okay, now I have to go do it, now I have to apply it, now I have to think about these things. Now, the order in if you're following the text, the order of Perek Gimel is different than the order of Perek Beis. And it's a little confusing if you're learning text, and if you happen to remember Perek Beis, it gets confusing because the order is different. The Mefarshim, all the Mefarshim I've seen say, relax, don't worry about it. I don't accept that because I'm a yeshiva bacha. And the Chavos HaLubavitch was like a Rishon, and not even a Rishon, like the first of the Rishonim, almost a bridge between the Gaonim and the Rishonim. Everything like two centuries before the Rambam, a century before Rashi, they didn't just, you know, throw dice and make up a list. And why would he do that? It's confusing, and it doesn't. Like, why would he do that? So I hold it. It took me a few years to figure out an answer. Baruch Hashem, I think it's an emes answer. In number one, in Perek Beis, he's enumerating the things you need to have bitachon. So he goes from the no-brainer to the biggest chiddush. So the order in Perek Beis reflects that Hashem loves me and cares about me. Oh, for sure. Like, how can you stop without that? Okay, number two is, well, even if Hashem cares and loves about me, but maybe he's busy with other things. You know, he's running the whole world there. So who says he has time for my job, or for my shidduch, or for my salary, or for my catching the bus, right? So that's number two. Then even if you get past one and two, you still have number three and four. The order, I believe, in Perek Beis is like from the lesser chiddush to the bigger chiddush. In Perek Gimel, he's talking about acquiring bitachon. So I think here it's an order of difficulty of avoda. I think he changes the order deliberately because here you're working on it. Think about this, think about that. And that's not the same order as in Perek Beis, because some things are harder to internalize and some things are easier to internalize. So that's what I believe. It's a theory of mine, no one else says it. And maybe, I think I'm right, but who knows? And what's the difference? Other Mefarshim just say it's haphazard, so okay. Just don't get confused if you're following the text. If you're not following the text, you already forgot Perek Beis. So it doesn't matter that the order here is different than in Perek Beis. Number one is the same. If you want to make a list, I'll give you a list right now. Number one here is one in Perek Beis. Number two here is number four in Perek Beis. Number three here is number three in Perek Beis. Number four here is number two in Perek Beis. Number five here is six in Perek Beis. Number six here is seven in Perek Beis. And number seven here is five in Perek Beis. It sounds more confusing than it is. Okay, number one is number one in Perek Beis. Hashem loves you and cares about you, and cares about you more than you care about yourself, more than your parents care about you, more than you will be caring about your children and grandchildren. Oh, I don't know about grandchildren. Okay. That's it. That's number one. And you have to win that. And I say the best mashal, the greatest mashal in the world is parents to children. Because we know, any normal parent cares and loves. And now, if you learn the Chavos HaLubavitch in Shaar HaBechina, he says that's one of the wonders of the universe. Because kids are a pain in the neck. Not totally ungrateful. They don't realize what you did for them. They don't know what you went through for 9 months. Gave birth, you stayed up at night washing them down, what you did for them. Like they don't know. And then when they do know a little, they don't care. And he says it's Mamashar HaBachim. It's a gift from Hashem that parents should care about children. and will be do anything for their children, and will take food out of their own mouths and give it to their children. And he says, the older they get, the worse it gets. Because you think you've got it easy now because you don't have to diaper them anymore. And you don't have to make sure they don't pick up a marble and put it in their mouth, chas v'shalom, and swallow it. So you have to always be on the watch. Don't kid yourself. When they're older, he says, they're worse. As my mother, in Europe, they said, kleiner kinder, kleiner tsaris, greiser kinder, greiser tsaris. Okay, so number one. So that's just a muscle. I mean, it doesn't prove it to you, but that's, if you want to have a picture, as I said, because if you think, Hashem, how could Hashem like me? Look what he does to me. Think of how children think about their parents. So, but that's, you have to believe. It's emunah. It helps if you're going through Shaar HaBechina and you realize that every moment of your life, Hashem is showering us with the most, with millions and billions of complex chemical reactions, complex connections, complex physics, chemistry, everything in the body and the world and everything, colors and taste. And so if you go through Shaar HaBechina, that's the purpose why he puts, he puts Shaar HaBechina second, mamash second, after Shaar HaYichud. Shaar HaYichud is after believing in Hashem. And most people nowadays skip Shaar HaYichud because it's too philosophical and it doesn't really speak to us. We want to go to Gateways, Shabbaton, and listen to proofs. He doesn't give those kind of proofs. He gives like philosophical proofs that were prevalent in his days. Like Hashem was one, because if Hashem was two, then how could it be? And which one? You know, he goes through these things that were meaningful in his days. It doesn't speak to us, not because we're smarter, but because we're stupider. And we don't, it gives us a headache when we think philosophical thoughts. We're more pragmatic, and we don't like to think nowadays. It's very hard. So that's why. But and that's why the proofs even sound strange to us, which is why most people skip Shaar HaYichud. Because it doesn't speak to us, and then it looks funny, and like that's what you call that a proof. But so then he says in Shaar, but the second one is Shaar HaBechina, where he says, like, if you have any doubts that Hashem made the world, look at this amazing world. And he goes through a list of 40, 50. I just made a list of someone. I think I came up with 76 things that he lists as this is utterly amazing. And again, that was in his time. We can times that by 10, because everything he talks about we now know is unbelievably more complex than the Chayyus HaLovus realized because of the histabchut of science and of every discipline. So if you go through Shaar HaBechina and you think, I'm learning now with the men, so they're sitting there doing me a favor, listening to me, not listening to me, but the point is, if you really think about what you're learning and then you finish Shaar HaBechina, and like you would have no doubt that Hashem loves you and cares about you. Like, look what he's doing for you. And like, and he doesn't have any reason to do it for you. And so, and Chazal tells us he loves us, and we're born in Lamakom, and he made the whole world because of Ahava, because he wants to do chesed, he wants to give, he wants to bestow goodness. So, but that's what you have to believe. Now he says a point here. He says more, he elaborates in this parak over parak base. He just doesn't say, okay, so this is true about Hashem, and this is true about Hashem, and this is true about Hashem, and this is true about Hashem. He elaborates on everything. Here he says an amazing thought. He says, any love that a person experiences in this world, whether it's from a child, or from a spouse, or from a best friend, or from a good friend, that's Hashem's love. What do you think is happening here? Hashem is showering you with love. He's just channeling it through a parent, through a friend, through a spouse. It's Hashem, that's all, it's coming from Hashem, and it's just being channeled. Achachdomos, the premises, means Hashem bebirurun, getting clarity in it, va'amituson, being convinced that it's true. Yushlam lo'odam ha'bitochon belokim, that will have you acquire the midos ha'bitochon, hein chomesh. Okay, five. Achas mehem. Now the first one is sheyamin, believe, but this bar and slow and get clarity. Hiskaptus hashiva in yonah belokim. The seven things we just talked about I believe that, and I'm clear that it's true about Hashem. I just told you, when these seven things come together, it would be true about anything. It just happens not to be true about anybody or anything other than Hashem. But this is like logic and common sense and rational thought. These seven things will allow you to rely on someone. Yitochein, then it's possible to tochalov. Of course, Chartim, I mentioned them. Eriosi, Aleim, B'meshin, Ezdamon, Liman, Akosuf. We brought down Psukim at the end of Perek Beis Vahem. Harisha, number one, which is number one in Perek Beis also. Shabori is Baruch Merachim, Al Adam, Yoytzim, Yikom Merachim. If you imagine someone who has the most, cares about you the most, Hashem cares about you more. Now he says, V'chol Rachamim, V'chemlo, She'yiyu, Mizulosu, Alov, any Rachamim, any kindness, any caring, any love, that is channeled your way from someone else. Kulam hain me racham me hakel v'chem lasa. That's going from Hashem. Hashem created a world, and He channels this kind of love through a parent, and this kind of love through a spouse. Because Hashem, right? We know the Shir Hashirim. So you see that the love of Hashem is like the love of the spouse. And then you have bonim lamokom, so it's the karachim of bonim, right? So we have the rachim of parents, and then so the Sukkim say, this is how Hashem has created these things to channel His love to us. Besides the whole shara b'china, which is just channeled through biology, through physics, through astronomy, through plant life, etc. Kamoshamar Akosim, this is an amazing shot in the Pasuk, it's certainly not Posh shot in the Pasuk. Venosum Kharachamim Berichemcha Verbecha. That's a funny Pasuk. It's at the end of Irmani Dachas that you just burnt up a whole city and everything that's in it, because they did Abu Dazara. So the Posh shot in the Pasuk is that a person tends in time of war, when you do something like this, a person becomes hardened to human life and he becomes a more insensitive individual. So Hashem promises that if you follow His laws and you destroy the Ir HaNidachas the way you're supposed to destroy it, then I imagine the same promise would be true about killing Amalek or the Shiva Humos. You will not become an insensitive person. For Nosam Lecha Rachamim, He will give you Rachamim, He will make you a Rachamon, V'richamcha, V'hirbecha. The Chavit HaMolus has like a fascinating shot. It doesn't really fit the context of the Pasuk, which is the last Pasuk of the parasha of Ir HaNidachas, but he's learning V'nasum L'charachamim. Hashem puts things in your life which give you rachamim, V'richamcha, but it's really Hashem being merachim on you, and He's just channeling it through these channels. So that's what he's learning in the Pasuk. Very interesting pshat. So that's number one. Hashem, what?
I'm sorry?
Well, Herbecha means He'll give you a lot of children. Oh, I don't think that's your main. It happens to be in the Pasuk, so He brings it down. Okay. But she wouldn't do it. Let's say you're going to the Pasuk, not in the Pasuk, if you would become an insensitive person, it would be dangerous to make you a parent. So the Pasuk saying, okay, so that's number one. So now that's it. He's finished with number one. But it's a mouthful, and it's a mindful, and you have to believe it. You can't get started unless you believe it, unless you feel it. It helps to learn Shara HaBechina, and to learn it like really, because then your mind explodes with everything Hashem is doing for you. And we say, and Anachnu must speak him, Lahodus Lachal Hashem, Elokeinu, Lachayel, Seinu, Alachas, Neolot, Alfa, Yalof, and Briba, Yeros, and Net, Devoshas, and Mozim, Yimonu. Then, well, history is there, and Jewish, and this, but that's all in Shar HaBechina. And then our personal history, which is not in Shar HaBechina, but he mentions it, like, there's the history of Klal Yisrael, and I'm a member now of that Klal Yisrael, and the Shar HaBechina, and we call Amim, look how we survived, everything, but then this personal history, how I have the influences in my life that I had, and how I met the people I met, and okay, that helps. It helps to realize the Ava Hashem has for us. Ava Rabo Haftoni, we say in the evening, in Ma'ariv, in the morning we say, that we say in the morning, Ava Sola we say in the evening. V'Hashemi, Okay, number two here is number four in Perek Beis. Hashem knows what, again, I think the order is how difficult it is to realize. So if number one is awful difficult for you, well, then it's only going to get more difficult according to my theory. The Hasheni, which is number four in Perek Beis, Yabori Yisala Lo Yeomu Mimeno Ofani Toelas Adam. Hashem knows what's best for you. We don't know what's best for us. We want instant gratification. We want to feel good our whole lives and never have any pain or problems or stresses. And we are very short-sighted, right? We see what's happening today, maybe a week. But Hashem has everything, right, in mind. So Hashem knows what's best for us. And then there's always what's best for my neshama. Might not be what's best to my goof. If you remember Shach Cheshvan HaNefesh, that was number 29 out of the 30 Chesronos, to realize that the, who are you? Who are you? You're not your goof. It's a lavush, something you're wearing. Nach 120, we're going to take it off, like you take off your coat, you check it in, you go to a chasm, you go to the checkout. You check out your goof, gets buried in the ground. It happens to everybody. But that's not you. You're not your goof. How tall you are, how you look, how it's ridiculous. You are your neshama, your seichel, your emotions, your neshama, your character, your midos. This, are you this kind of a person, that kind of, that's you. That's not the goof. The goof is like so petty. So Hashem, so when we say Hashem knows what's best for you, We included that in neshama, so that already changes the whole picture, because my neshama is what's going to live on in Mitzchias forever. And if something is more beneficial to my neshama, because it's going to develop my character, it's going to make, and every neshama has what it has to develop. This is already, even if it just means the neshama, that would completely explain it. But the truth is, for the goof also, we are short-sighted, we don't see. Yes, yes, once in a while there's something that's absolutely tragic for the goof. And our only explanation would be that it's good for the neshama, which is almost always true. And I know, it's always true. I mean, it's always true about the neshama, but sometimes you don't need the neshama. Sometimes you lose a job and you get a better job, and you find out later. Sometimes it's, you know, you don't realize that that person would have been a very bad shidduch for you, or a very bad friend for you, or he didn't go into the school because the school would have been a disaster, would have been bad for him. And like, all these things that are happening are really good for you. Hashem has the larger picture. He sees the future, the past, the present. He sees the whole scope of existence, so he only knows what's good for you. Sometimes it's good for your neshama, and that you don't even, I don't even care about that, but it is. And yes, people who have undergone serious problems where it didn't turn out that they missed the plane and the plane crashed, or it turned out they made the plane and the plane crashed. Oh, that's not a good example. But yes, people who have had really difficult situations, they will all say, an Erlich a Jew, I mean, someone who's serious, you know, will always say, you know, I have permission from Shraga. I always say over from Shraga. You know, he sat in jail for 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was. Any normal person would say he was innocent, but the judicial system, not unfairly, I will say, but the system is that he was guilty of what he did. That's the rules, like, you know, the society rules. Very difficult, you know, and b'shas ma'aser, you're attacked. How do you react? So you don't start scrolling down to get the rules, Robert's rules of debate, you know, you don't do that. You react, the body wants to protect itself. Anyway, but that's like a tzara for family, for him, you know. So he gives me permission always to say this. He can't say he's happy it happened, but he sees the benefits. the benefits. He sees the benefits. He sees he gained from the ordeal in a very meaningful, long-lasting way. And that's, and I think most serious people who have undergone trouble, if they dealt with it, you know, if they just curled up in the fetal position and just went to sleep, that's not dealing with it. But people who have dealt with their troubles inevitably feel like they gained. They became better people. They became even more connected to Hashem. They became more tolerant. They lost their midas hakas. They became more humble. They became more generous. I mean, there's a whole gamut of midos, and it changes people. So sometimes that's the good. That's a sugya b'fnei atzmo of, you know, what is the to'elus of what we think is bad, what is the good in it, well, Hashem does good. But the point here, more focused, is Hashem knows what's best for you. And he says, it's logical, because Hashem created you. So if you want to know the best thing for the car, so you can go to a mechanic, and he'll tell you it needs an oil change every kach v'kach miles, the tires have to be inflated kach v'kach. Okay, but if you go to the car manufacturer, the guy that built the car, he's going to know better than anyone else what's good for the car, what's not good for the car, because he built it. He knows the kishkas in the car, because the Lover says he knows the kishkas of what he created better than anybody that comes later and just like figures it out. But he created it, so he knows every little thing. Oh, no, yeah, this, you might think this is good, but meanwhile, you know, it's like side effects with medicine. You know, you take the medicine for this, but meanwhile it's affecting a different aver, and it's not so good to have that side effect. So he says, but didn't know sing to say, it's only logical that Hashem should know what's best for you. The Neshuwech of the Ma'asov, you are one of Hashem's creations. No one knows what's most beneficial for something that's been created and made, the Hefseido, and what's not good for it. Also, things that could happen to it, like you can't keep it running for more than 2 hours. In the way it can get sick. And I will hustle means get healed. Yoiser may oseil. No one knows better than the manufacturer what's good, what could ruin it, how to fix it if it gets ruined. And then he makes a kal v'chomer. He says, and that's nothing. I'm just giving you a marshal. But if that's true about people, is that people don't really make anything. Right? They just put things together because of the prior knowledge of, let's say, physics or mechanics. Or electricity, so they put things together, but they're really not creating anything. A person can't create anything, he just is putting together. He's taking prior concepts, prior things that exist that he knows about, and he came up with a way to put it together in a way that it'll be able to get you from here to Yerushalayim in 45 minutes. Wow. He didn't create anything. Certain ideas, he's inventive and creative. Hashem sent him the idea, but he didn't create. He says, if it's true that the best person to ask about a car is the person that built the car, or maybe with an assembly line, but the person that conceived of the car and had it built, the assembly line people have no idea. Me as an intim of Osim ibn Ayodom, humans. But this is before assembly line. This is before Henry Ford. They don't make anything. They don't create anything. Zulositzura mikris. They just happen to put it together. Achashoresh, the real kishkas of the machine, of the thing that they create. Batsura atzmis. They don't aim lahem b'hem shum tachbula v'lo yicholos l'chadshon. They don't know. They could tell you how long a piece of furniture could last without being refreshed or refurbished place, but they don't really know the nature of wood or the nature of plastic or the nature of, you know, their knowledge stops at a certain point. And then you'll tell them what happened. They'll say, I don't know. know, these things happen sometimes. That's what they're willing, right? I don't know, you know, sometimes things happen. That's their answer. But Hashem created, so he knows about a person from the person's inception as a Bria. That's Hashem. The tsuroso, and put it together, tsunoso in his nature, the seder chiburo, hu hachochom hayodea bin yonito alohu, so he knows what's good for the person. Now remember, we're talking about the neshama also. So that certainly no one can connect to and know what's good for this person's neshama, because every neshama is different, every neshama has a different task to perform. When you talk about the neshama with totally clueless, you know, if we just have that reason, then that would be enough. But everything Hashem does to me is a... But everybody, for sure, has a story how what they thought was bad turned out to be good. Everybody has more than one story. They say, oh, I thought it was bad, then I realized later it turned out it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Everybody has such a story. So you don't really need the neshama most of the time. Or certainly 50% of the time, 60% of the time, you don't need to like fall back on, okay, it's best for my neshama. More often than not, it turns out, oh wow, Hashem saved me from like, boy, when I think what could have happened if I would have went to that school, if I would have made that friend, if I would have lived in that neighborhood, if I would have taken that job, if I would have, you know, had that friend, you shudder in fright, you say, boy, thank you Hashem, I was like walking off a cliff and he saved me. So whoever created man from his very inception of existence certainly knows what's good for him. And what's good for him, ba'olamo, that's this world, and here he says v'achariso, and you got a whole world out there. This world doesn't last that long. 70, 80, 90, we'll say 100 svansik yar. You know, that's it. Then it happens to everybody. That's it. So now what? Belief Sofek. Hashem certainly knows what's best. This was number 4 in Perek Beis. Kamosha Kotov, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Melamedcha Lehoil, Madrichecha Baderech Teilech. For Omar, and therefore it says, and we hear this pasuk, and we have to believe it, Ki yes, asher yeh, hav Hashem yochiach, Hashem will give tochacha, rebuke to those he loves, because that brings out what's best in them. Ben Yiratzen. Again, you talk to serious people who had tzaras, people who are mature and dealt with things. Sometimes, if you're lucky, if Hashem is kind to you, then the way to deal with the problem is the tikkun midah itself. Like you say, you know why I have this problem? Because I'm really otzel, I have atzlus. Well, you know why I have this problem? Because I get angry, I have an anger issue. You know why I have this problem? Because I don't like people and I think the worst of them. I don't have an ayin tova, I have an ayin ra. And that's why I got into this mess. Sometimes you know it, you see it, it's like real. No wonder I got fired. No wonder I can't get a job. No wonder. So that's if you're lucky, if Hashem's kind to you. If Hashem knows, he won't figure it out otherwise. Sometimes it's just a nudge, you know, a push, a wake-up call, we call it. And you make a cheshbon, you know, we don't always see the midah k'neged midah. Sometimes we're lucky and we see it, and not. But that's already all, again, in the world of the neshama. I say, more often than not, what we thought was disastrous turned out to be good in the long run. The long run doesn't have to be 50 years. We're very short-sighted. People are very short-sighted. The long run could be a month or a year. It's like a joke, a blink of an eye. Everybody has stories like that. If this would be a real class, I would tell everybody write their own story and hand it in. without writing your name, because I'm not looking to pry into your own business. Yeah, it would be a very valuable book, because everybody reading it would realize this applies to me as well, and I have to lose my resentment and my feeling sorry for myself, and Hashem always knows what's best. Maybe I would learn how to react. I would learn how to react, and oh boy, I didn't react the right way. Hashem wanted me to react a certain way, and I reacted with anger and depression, and I got upset, blamed the other person, and look what this person did. I read the story and I say, this person stopped talking Lashon Hara. You know? Okay. Vashlishi. And it's fascinating, but let's try to focus here on what we're learning. Vashlishi, number three here, is number three in Perek Beis, which is that Hashem is omnipotent. Kebori is bara chazak mikol chazak. Hashem is omnipotent. Hashem can do anything. So there's nothing stopping him from doing what he wants. Again, because in Perek Beis, that's how he put it. He says, and if I mean Hashem loves me more than anybody else in the world, that's number one in Perek Beis, and number two in Perek Beis was that Hashem doesn't go to sleep and doesn't get distracted and doesn't get lazy and doesn't get tired and is not busy with other things. But who says that he's able to do what he wants to do because he loves me and because he didn't get distracted? The answer is, well, in very basic, not talking about Hashem. To have you talking to someone, so you have to believe, you have to have number three. Number three is, it's not enough to love you and care about you. It's not enough to totally be thinking about you 24/7, and you're the only, it's as if you're the only thing on its mind. But the person has to be able to carry out. The object of your talking has to be able to carry out whatever it wants to carry out. Maybe it'll fall short. Right, so right away, that's where you say, okay, you know, I can imagine number one and two. I can, you know, have this fanciful dreams that my best friend is like number one and number two also in paradise, but not number three. Right? Nobody can say that they can do any. You know, once they decide to do something, they're going to do it. But Hashem, so that's what you have to believe. Number three. Ki abori is bara chazak mikol chazak, v'devaro nigzar mikol davar, what he says goes, right? Le'omer Hashem yihyar v'yihyar, that's it. His will is just materializes and becomes real. Ve'im meishav his dino, no one can stop his verdict from being carried out. K'mo shenemar, if you need a posit for this, kol ha'shachofes Hashem osa, v'omar k'ingi ha'devari asher yeitzi mipi, lo yeshuv ha'mai reikom, k'im so you have to believe that. And you know, somebody will say, oh, but Hashem can think of an Eitzu when you can't, believe it or not. I got this like insolvable problem. How am I, like, this is insolvable. You know, Hashem will come up with a solution. Hashem can do anything. It just doesn't mean he's stronger than anyone else. It means he'll come up with a solution but no one else can. And yeah, and you know, we can't, but that's why it's not good to give Hashem Eitzes. When you're davening and you want parnosa, so it's not good to say, I don't think so. Maybe others hold differently. This is not really a philosophical, it's just a prayer. You know, I need more money, Hashem, so let me get a raise. Don't tell Hashem that. You know, Hashem, if you want more money, Hashem will get you more money. You know, don't tell Hashem how to do it. That's why I think it's unseemly. Hashem can figure out how to do it. That's what I suggest to people. Don't tell Hashem the way to give you more money. Let him figure it out himself. Let him work with it. So that's number three. Number four here is number two in Perek Beis. Ki hu mashgiach al hanhogos b'nei adam kulam. He is always watching everything that's going on, no matter how insignificant it may seem to us, how petty. I'm making supper, I'm crossing the street, I'm catching a bus, I'm walking down the stairs. Hashem is on top of everything happening. You know, it's so, maybe now that we have video cameras, it's So you can imagine there's like a Hashem sitting in front of like a screen, and there's a constant feed from every place in the world 24/7, and he's watching everything. But that's what number four is. Ki mashgiach al hanogos b'nei yodom kulam bo yanichem. He doesn't get distracted. He doesn't just let it go. You know, I'm busy with other things. Chas v'shalom. Lo yisalem mayhem. He doesn't ignore them. Lo yisosim b'meno dover mayhem. Hashem, nothing, right? We're not saying the first Ramon, Shulchan Aruch Harachayim. In yisosir ish b'mistarim v'anilo arenu num Hashem. He can't hide from Hashem. I'll try to sneak this past. Yeah, as he said, you can't. There's no such thing. No matter how small and insignificant the thing, you know. I won't make a bar in a fush or something in a rush. Hashem knows you're doing that. And you're going to have to answer for it. Why didn't you make a bracha right now? You were in a rush? That's a reason? Okay, let me check the Shulchan Aruch. Hold on a second. I don't see that that's a tour for making a bracha right because you're in a rush. And you're going to, and we're going to, all of us, we're going to be embarrassed. Like, and say, oh man, it would have taken me like 10 seconds to make a bracha achrayna, and now I have to answer for it. And I don't have an answer. Like, I wish I was alive again so I could make up for those 10 seconds. Like, what's 10 seconds? Big deal. Oh man. That. And Mr. Maliel says, the Eish of Gehenna is the busha. That's the fire. The fire of Gehenna is the busha that we're all going to, not you, you wonderful ladies, but we're going to face a busha. That's the Eish. Mr. Maliel says, that's the Eish. The Eish is the busha we're all going to feel. Kiyum HaShgiach, so, V'lo Yisar, V'lo Yisosem, Yimeno Dover, Mehem Biktanu Bat Gedolam. He knows what they're doing in their innermost places. V'lo Yashgicheu Dover is Dover. It doesn't pile up, you know. My inbox, you know, I always talk about the avalanche of emails, so it gets buried. Nothing gets buried with Hashem, right? He doesn't get buried under the avalanche of events. Moshe Kosov, and you know, Klal Yisrael said it in the time of Yishayahu HaNavi. Loma Tomer Yaakov Usudaber Yisrael. Why, how can you talk like that? Nistra Darki Me Hashem. Because that's what it feels like. Rather, they're talking about, this is also an interesting interpretation of the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk Pasha is just talking about when bad things happen to Klal Yisrael, and there's Hester upon him, and they're saying, like, where's Hashem? But he's interpreting it, like, as an evildoer's, like, Hakdama. Like that they're ready to do Averis because they say, yeah, Mr. Adarki Hashem. Hashem is not aware of everything that I'm doing. Which he says, so like, the Novi is remonstrating with them for thinking that way. For Omar, lo yadatem lo shamad lekei olam Hashem, borek tzol sa'ores, lo yigav, vein cheker l'sfunaso. So that's number two in Perek Beis. Hashem is totally aware of everything that happens. And the truth is, he's more than aware, but he's making it happen, and he's enabling it. But for the purposes of bitachon, we, so to speak, only have to be aware that he's aware of it, because that's where it fits in, to rely on him. He's aware of it. The fact that he's making everything happen is already part, according to the Chinuch especially, part of the mitzvah of emunah, right? When the Chinuch says the mitzvah of emunah, to believe that there's a Hashem in the world, he doesn't stop at that sentence, that there's a Hashem in the world that created everything, and that makes everything a car, and that's responsible for everything, and that his continued will is responsible for the continued existence of this table. The table's not here because it was here a second ago. The table is here now because Hashem wants it to be here now, which is a difficult concept for us to grasp. Like, where's the table? Because we have to see Ratzon Hashem at the table. We see a wood, and we see gravity, and we see, the truth is, if you're a physicist, any normal person would say the table is stationary, right? A physicist would say, what are you talking about? You know, there's like thousands of atoms like bumping into each other and like running back and forth, you know, and somewhere in there is Ratzon Hashem, right? There's Ratzon Hashem. So that's part of the Emunah, but it's not relevant now. He's just talking about Bitochon. He says Hashem knows what's happening. So that's number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, we'll stop there. Tell him now. You want me to take a few tests? That's too hard for someone. I'll leave the room so you can sing if you want. Anyway, I just want to say a few words just to get you up to date. I'm pretty sure everyone knows.
Hold on a second. I'd like to get the copy of the flyer.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone knows what's going on with the blesses. There's a child in the neighborhood, rather, that had a kidney transplant. What's the name? Gold? No. There's another child in the neighborhood that rather had a kidney transplant. Golderstein. I don't know the name. They were waiting 2 years for a kidney transplant. No, not 2 years. Only 7 months. 7 months, I'm sorry. 7 months. And the operation took place just about the same minute as the 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They take virtually the same hour that the liver donor was found. A kidney donor stepped forth. It was a live person. It was Rabbi Goy, who donated a kidney. And the operation, the transplant, took place came out the same minute as the blesses transplant. So, if you didn't believe in Hashem until now, now is a good time. It was Wednesday afternoon by us. It was Arab like it was like 5 o'clock in the hour afternoon.
Golderstein,
right.
How are the children doing? How are they doing, the two children?
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Oh, so the children are doing fine. So, Baruch Hashem, the child was not doing great. You know, how long can you be with a damaged liver? And it was pretty scary, the deterioration of the body. And the family broken up. Okay, but my point is now, so Baruch Hashem, the donor was found, and the kid's doing amazing clinically. Clinically means, so far so good. Like, the liver's a good match. But, I don't know if you know anything about transplants, I certainly don't. But, it's very scary now, because all the problems that, there's so many, you know, we say transplant, like, yeah, transplant. Like, yeah, I'll take something else to look and put it in here. Like I'm buying a new battery in a store. Mm-hmm. It's like an amazing, amazing, amazing chiddush in the Bria that this is possible. And it's not pushing. There's all kinds of things that could go wrong. We have to be totally thankful and grateful to Hashem that a liver happened and it was like a perfect match clinically and the operation went smoothly. But so we're over that hump, so to speak. But it's very scary, and we can't let up without tefillos. The next the next year and a half is very scary. But certainly the next 3-4 weeks is very touch and go. Is this going to work? It's not pushing. You take someone else's aver and you put it in your body. It doesn't, there's a lot of, a doctor can start listening. We all know about rejection, I think. That's pretty commonly known, that the body rejects this foreign thing. But there's a lot of things. I'm not saying it to be pessimistic. I remember. But, we say, I'm just saying it to fill it with fire and intense, because we're over the first hump, but now there's a very, very chashuva period. We're very scary, very dangerous, very intense, very important, and so please,